out, folks. It is the Monday afternoon show. We got Barbara here, and we got Paula standing by on Skype. We're just about to call her up. We got theater in the house. We got a play to talk about. We got stuff to talk about. It is Monday, April 9th. Thank you for listening in to the Monday afternoon show here till 6 p.m. It is the birthday of Paul Robeson today. Happy birthday, Paul Robeson. Born on this day in 1898. He was African-American activist and singer. Quite an amazing singer as well. It's the birthday of Laila Khaled. Laila Khaled was born in 1944. She was a Palestinian liberation fighter. And it's the death day of Francis Bacon. Francis Bacon died on this day in 1626. Statesman and philosopher. And last but certainly not least, speaking of theater, it's the birthday of Paul Krassner, born in 1932. He was a co-founder of the Yippie Party, which was a political party of the United States, which had some theatrical components to it, which we don't need to get into right now. But Barbara, I just want to say, start right off, welcome to the Monday afternoon show. We are going to call Paula in a minute. And Barbara, if you would just please, if you don't mind, introduce yourself and tell us what's going on.
Okay, I'm Barbara Waldinger. I'm artistic director of HRC Showcase Theater, which is based in Hudson, New York. We perform five plays a season at the First Reformed Church in Hudson on 52 Green Street, and we are in our 27th season. This is my 18th as artistic director. So our plays are chosen based on a national playwriting contest. We receive a couple of hundred scripts. We have five judges, and we choose five plays that we would like to produce. And what we do is we produce staged readings of these plays. So actors have scripts, and they move around. So it's like a performance with script in hand. And so this is now our fourth play of this season, coming up on Saturday, April 14th at 7:30. At the First Reformed Church of Hudson, and it is called Trust Me, and it's written by Paula Fell, who you will hear from pretty soon.
Okay, should we just give her a call right on up?
Yeah, that sounds
let's
good.
Just see. We'll see if we can get her on the long line. So Paula Fell is actually the playwright, and she is waiting on the line, so we're going to do our best to see if we can connect with her. So tell us a little bit more. What's the name of the play?
Again, this play is called Trust Me. And Paula's blurb about this play is... Should I read it?
Oh,
let's wait and see.
Yeah, let's hold on. Trust Me?
Trust Me.
So yes. You have to trust me on the board here. This is the first time in our new studio here in the basement of the church that we are trying to connect via Skype on the Monday afternoon show. Paula, there's no way, but... Are you actually there?
I am actually here.
No way. It was a success. It actually works. Sorry for keeping you waiting right there. You are connecting here on the Monday afternoon show via Skype. We have Barbara in the studio. We are talking about your play. This is all very exciting. And we are just about to give a blurb about what the play was about, but maybe you should get right into it and tell us yourself, what is this play about?
Well, okay. Paula, I thought maybe I'd read your blurb first. Would you like that? Okay. You say, John has everyone, including his wife, in the dark about his nefarious business activities until a mysterious stranger arrives at his door. So the question is, how much do we give away and how much do we keep secret? I think probably we can say that John is married to Renee. They've been married for a couple of years. John is a supposedly successful businessman, and Renee is his wife, who is an editor. And the mysterious stranger at the door is a loan shark, who John has borrowed money from.
And is not successful in paying back.
Right. He has not been successful, hence the entrance of the loan shark, or the man who represents the loan shark, coming in to see what's wrong and why hasn't he paid, and how he can help John to pay back the money without the wife knowing, because she doesn't even know that her husband is in debt.
Mm-hmm. So intrigue and mystery abounds. Paula, tell us what brought you to write this play, and what were you thinking?
Well, I was intrigued with the idea of a woman making a choice between two very different men. One who, to the outside world, seems like a great guy and is very successful, but is actually very corrupt and self-serving. And the other, if you knew who he was, you to the outside world, he would be considered a bad guy, but actually is a very principled, in his own way, a very principled person.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it's a play about choices. Every character not only has to make serious choices, but initially they all resist making changes to the choices they had already made that got them into these situations.
Isn't that so human?
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's right. I was really interested in the fact that John, the husband, who's in debt, who appears so charming and so well-liked by the community, really is abusive, and he is abusive to his wife. And I was very interested in Paula's research on abuse and how that informed the play. Paula, actually, yeah, you were talking about the different kinds of abusers and how John fits in to what you've been researching.
Yes, first, it's not uncommon for somebody to have kind of a surface personality and where they seem to be an extremely nice, charming person, but to specific people in their life, they are not kind. And I just want to clarify, this is not physical abuse, just for anybody that's listening. It's more in his mannerisms toward his wife. But what I had shared with Barbara was that, what from my research, I'm not an expert on this one, by the way, I'm not a psychologist, but what I had learned was that there's kind of two basic types of abuser. One is, and people that did this research gave me two kind of tags. One is a cobra and one is a bulldog. And somebody that's a cobra actually enjoys abusing people and does it solely for that reason. But a bulldog, and this is fortunately the more common type, is doing it out of their own fear and frustration with the place they have found themselves in life. And instead of fixing the problems they created or seeing that they are part of the problem, they are lashing out and abusing others or controlling. That's another form of controlling others. To, in their mind, that's how they're going to fix everything.
And I think it's really interesting how nobody is what they seem in this play. John, he is charming and seems bright and successful, and we learn a lot more negative things about him in the course of the play, whereas Lou, who is the hitman, the guy who comes from the loan shark, turns out not to fit our stereotype of what this type of man would be. So there are a lot of surprises here. You never know which way this play is going to go, which is something I really love about it. It's absolutely impossible to predict from moment to moment. One of the things about John is that he is so sure that he can continue to do what he's doing and borrow money from Peter to pay Paul and just keep spending money on whatever he likes and living well, even though it's not his money. And there'll be some magical thing that'll help him to pay it all back. He thinks he can do anything, and have no consequences. And I mentioned to Paula that that seems to remind me of our president. And that's one of the things I find very relevant about this play. There seems
well, it's unfortunate, very common attribute of people that get into financial problems, especially anybody that embezzles. They start out, they don't start out with that in mind. They're just, let's say, helping themselves to what they think they already deserve, and they usually start very small, and they get away with it. And if they're, you know, intelligent and charming, they can get away with it for a long time, and the longer they get away with it, the more they believe they can get away with it, and the more they can do.
And so watching John as he twists and turns and tries out things and thinks that he can put something over on Lou, who has seen it all before, and watch how Lou reacts, to me, it's very exciting. That's one of the reasons that I love this play, because here's this guy who thinks that everything he does is so smart and nobody will be onto him. And yet, everybody really is, including, finally, his wife. And you wait a long time for that to happen because she, you know, she is his wife after all. The other thing that you did, Paula, that I really admire is that for each of these characters, you wrote and sent to me a long biography of who they are, where they came from, and why they are the way they are. Because you wonder, you know, what makes people act this way? And for example, we talked about the wife. Why isn't she on to her husband? Why does it take her so long? They've only been married a short time, which explains some things. But you, I know, have done some work on that. You know, what about this seemingly very bright woman who just doesn't get it? Why?
And that was a case of the Renee character coming from her own paradigm, her being a very trusting, straightforward, honest person. And it's hard for her to imagine John is behaving, you know, any different. And even as the facts start piling up, it's harder for her to go down that road, envision this. Until, you know, there's just no denying.
And we're watching her and saying, wake up! and wondering when that will finally happen.
And, yes, and I think sometimes that surprises some people in the audience. And I think other people in the audience go, well, reach back and remember that person in their life that they may have fooled them a little longer than they care to admit, and even as all their friends or family around them were seeing what was going on. And I have to thank the lady that taught the play workshop that I really developed the earlier version of this play, and she was very strong about having to write out these biographies. And a lot of the information in these biographies that we write out doesn't show up in the play, but it influences and helps you develop that character more fully.
Go ahead.
I asked about it.
What's interesting is that that actors are taught in acting classes to come up with biographies of every character they play. But you're the first playwright who's come up with something so detailed and so helpful to all of us. And I really want to thank you for that.
Yeah, like I said, I asked my work teacher. It was funny, I heard an interview just a few days ago with Frank Oz.
Oh, wow.
And he was taught, they were asking him about how he develops his characters, and he does the exact same thing. He writes out a biography, and he had read one of them, and he said, you're never going to see most of the details ever come out about these characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, and it helps me make the character what it is.
And it helps the actors, because Of course, you may not have lines that indicate all of these things, but when they know who they are and where they're from and what makes them tick, it is so much easier to play moment to moment in the play. And because we're reading, when we don't have a whole lot of time to dig into these characters, this is a really helpful thing for us. The other thing that interests me a lot is what you talked about when you had this play read, which is very exciting, at the Shakespeare Theater in Ashland, Oregon, and the comments they made about Renee. I'd love for you to talk a little about that. Renee, the wife.
Yeah, that really did surprise me. At the reading, there were two readings and two different times. And at the first reading, somebody brought up that they didn't think a woman that was as smart and capable as Renee would allow her husband to treat her the way she did. But there were many people in the audience that reacted against that and said it could happen to anybody. It doesn't, it's not limited to somebody that has low self-esteem or comes from a tradition of this in their family dynamics. And I went home and, you know, went back to my hotel after that, and I was kind of wondering about this, is this something I have to change in my play for the people in the audience that don't understand how this could happen to anybody? And later, after the second reading, this woman came up to me and she introduced herself and she said she had been at both readings and she had, you know, heard the comment the guy said at the first reading, and but she was too shy to speak up then and there, and she didn't get a chance to talk to me, so she purposely came to the second reading so she could, and she said, "I'm Renee, I'm just like her, please don't ever change that."
Isn't that something? And how relevant this is to the whole Me Too movement as well. Look at these women.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm afraid it's somewhat timeless.
Yes, yes. And no matter what kind of abuse, physical or not, it's still something that we're fighting and always will, as you say.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's so much about this play that will always, unfortunately, be relevant. And we will always have to deal with this. Another thing that I find interesting is that not every playwright can do this. Can write a play with a combination of both humor and tension, and you've been able to do that. And we talked about that a lot. And I wonder if you might want to have anything to add to that.
It's interesting only in that I started out with the idea, and I typically write comedies. I didn't start writing this purposely to be a comedy. I just writing the idea, but I think it's just my natural bent that the humor, and there's humor in every situation, comes out. And as I explained to Barbara, it's the tension actually builds the humor in this situation. It's a slight variation on drama where you use humor to break the tension so the audience can breathe. And what I really consider it a black comedy more than just a straight drama. The humor will actually build as the tension builds. At least that's the plan.
And that is really something that separates it from, say, a TV movie where you just have this tension and drama and all kinds of things like that happening, where you know, there isn't a moment where you can sit back and appreciate. There's humor in every single situation in life. And that's what you've been able to put into this play. And that's another thing I think is very special and a quality that you have that many playwrights don't, and an ability that you have to mesh the two that other playwrights don't.
Thank you. I think it's just the weird synapses in my brain.
I'm glad it's part of our season. That's all I can say.
Well, it sounds like an absolutely fascinating play, and the synapses are probably firing just right. And I just want to reiterate that this is a play that will be happening this Saturday, April 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Reformed Church of Hudson at 52 Green Street in Hudson. And this is absolutely exciting to have theater in our local Columbia County community. And Paula, thank you for coming up and writing this play. And if you want to talk just a little bit more about yourself, of where you come from, what motivated you to write the play exactly, and how you met up with Barbara here, and just give a little bit of background and tell people why it should be an exciting event.
Well, let me start with the last one. Why I think what they're doing for HRC is so exciting. The opportunities to get a new play out to the theaters is very difficult, and it becomes difficult every year when we lose theaters, or they, due to financial considerations, do less and less new work. And to have a place that focuses on it is such a wonderful thing for the theatrical world.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited to come there. And I want to throw something back at Barbara. She's the first director I've had that has delved in so deep and asked so many really relevant, good questions about my play. It was quite exciting.
And your answers were so complete and as you say, profound and helped me. I mean, the joy of working with a living playwright and somebody who's willing to share their thoughts and their process, it's terrific for us, too.
Well, you know, it's a little bit like talking about yourself, and who doesn't like doing that?
There you go. I opened you up wide there, Paula. Just go nuts and tell us.
And you're coming all the way from California for this reason.
Oh, you from Cali?
I am. I'm from Southern California, Newport Beach area.
Okay.
Headed out on Friday, and I keep looking at your weather, and
and we hope it doesn't snow before you get here.
We do not have SoCal weather right now, I do have to say, although we're going to try real hard to see if we can get you some of that by the 14th, but it might be unlikely.
Well, fortunately, I do have a sweater or two, so I think I'll be able to handle it. And I am originally from Kansas, so
from Kansas.
Won't be too much of a cultural shock. But right. I am looking forward. I have spent almost, you know, the most, maybe a day in New York, and I've had very little experience on the East Coast, so I'm very excited to come out there.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, this is so, so great. Thank you again, Paula. Barbara, can you just read again just some of the details so they can let folks know where and when the play is?
Okay.
And what the name of the play is.
The play is called Trust Me, our wonderful playwright is Paula Fell, and the play will be performed. This is, again, our 27th season, and this is the fourth play of this season. It'll be performed Saturday, April 14th. At 7:30 p.m. at the First Reformed Church of Hudson, located at 52 Green Street in Hudson. Suggested donation is $15. For reservations, please call 518-851-2061. We hope to see you there.
There you go. Have you folks heard that? It's so funny. Right now we have PF. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Is that Paula Fell? There you go. PF on our line. The first Skype call in the new studio here on 4th Street and Warren at the Presbyterian Church. We have Paula Fell on the line. Paula, thanks again. Wonderful to have you on the air and talking about the play that you wrote called Trust Me. And anything else last you want to add?
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be that I was your first Skype.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thanks again for being our guest and really, really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, take care. All right, Barbara, thank you again. Also, this is so great. So you're the director of the play.
Right.
And are you affiliated with the church as well? Or
no.
Are you just...
No, no, we are renting space from the church.
Got you. And the name of your organization?
It's called HRC Showcase Theater. It used to be, again, it's 27th year, so it's so the name used to mean HRC Hudson River Classics. Hmm. But we don't do classics anymore. We only do new work. And we're really proud of that because, as Paula was saying, it's so hard for a new playwright to break in. And the great thing about having a reading is that the playwright gets to hear her words and to see in front of an audience what works and what doesn't. So it helps because playwriting is basically rewriting. Mm. That's how you get a play ready and for production. And having a reading means you can hear from the audience, watching them react. And also, not only do we have the reading, which is at 7:30, but we follow that with a reception, with wine and cheese and food and whatever. And following that is a talk back with the audience, in which they get to talk to the actors, myself and Paula. And we have a wonderful audience, and terrific members that come and support us, and they have a lot to say. They are a very sophisticated audience, and our playwrights are always glad to be able to speak with them. So they will comment, and that helps Paula in revising this play, because, of course, her ultimate goal will be to have a full production somewhere, and this is one step along the way. And as I said before, it was also done in Ashland, in Oregon, which is a very prestigious theater. They did a reading there, too. So by the time Paul is done with all these readings, this play should be in terrific shape and ready to be produced, hopefully in a very good theater somewhere in New York or California or somewhere throughout the country.
That sounds great. Well, it sounds very interesting. It's hitting on some very important contemporary issues. You talk about domestic situations. It actually goes to you even implicated the president here with issues of narcissism, egotism, male dominance, all sorts of stuff that you'll find in subtle ways in the relationships in this play. It sounds like from the surface, it sounds like you're going to be delving into some of this stuff here, which is absolutely fascinating.
Hitting a lot of hot buttons. Right?
Yeah,
the whole
good.
Me Too.
Well, we
movement.
Need it. Yeah, we need the hot buttons.
Absolutely.
That's because otherwise life is just too boring and you stay asleep.
One thing you might want to know is some of our actors are members of Actors Equity, and others, whether they are or not, are terrific. There are three people in this play, and although the script was mailed out to all these actors this past December, so they've had it and they've been able to read it. We don't see each other until the morning of the 14th. And I've, of course, been emailing them all. Every comment that Paula made, everything that she had to say about the characters has been emailed to the actors. But we don't all meet until the morning at 9:30 in the morning on Saturday the 14th. And we work from 10 in the morning until 6 at night, just taking breaks for meals. And then the reading at 7:30. So the whole day is very exciting. Right.
And there you go. Saturday the 14th. You got it. That would be this Saturday, April 14th, at the church here on Green Street in Hudson. The First Church.
First Reformed Church.
First Reformed Church.
Right.
Yep, that's the one right there. And the name of the play, Trust Me. We've had Paula Fell, the playwright, on the line. It's so nice to hear someone from that background actually contribute and tell us what it's about. We have the director, Barbara, with us. Thank you so much.
It's been
this
a pleasure to
been
be here.
Really
Thank you.
Great. And you seem to be really passionate about your work, too.
Thank you. We only choose plays that are terrific.
Yeah. It sounds like this is good stuff. So once again, 7:30 p.m., April 14th, First Reformed Church, Green Street, 52 Green Street. That would be here in Hudson, the play Trust Me. This is a theater in your local community and should very much be supported in this day and age when the interface, I would say the person-to-person interface experience is sort of less and less with all the, we have it at our fingertips, right?
That's right.
So, Barbara, I think we'll leave it at that. We'll let the Haitians take over at this point. There's a special Haitian day today. And thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.